Good morning. I believe there will be about 70 to 80 of these talks that I give here in Rishikesh, and then some other talks too that I'm giving in India. They'll all be on our website as free downloads, so the full-length talks are available in MP3 format. Feel free to download them and share them as you like. Oh, well, just like an old person relaxing in the sun who has nothing more whatsoever to do and can just lie there totally content, soaking up the sun without any thoughts about the past or the future and no trouble with any of the thoughts of the present. That's just what it is to be completely enjoying the natural state. We don't need to look for freedom from the natural state with the natural state or as the natural state. We don't need to look for any of that. All we need to do is relax with whatever the contents of our own mind are, and that is the natural state. Nothing needs to be changed about the mind, so thoughts don't need to be changed from negative thoughts to positive thoughts. Emotions don't need to be changed from negative emotions to positive emotions. Sensations don't need to be changed from crummy sensations into good sensations, and then we don't have to try to get rid of the good sensations either. So if we enjoy pleasurable sensations in our body, nothing needs to be done about those either. It's only when we try to get into doing something about everything that's naturally occurring that we attempt to change what is. So don't do that. Don't try to change what is. No matter what your thoughts are, and no matter what anyone has ever told you about needing to change your thoughts or needing to change your emotions in order to enjoy your natural state, that's just all made up. Nothing needs to change. And in the attempt to change things, it will guarantee that you won't be able to enjoy what you're looking for. It's impossible to enjoy whatever it is you're looking for, whether you call it freedom, liberation, enlightenment, the natural state, or just the optimal way of being human. It's impossible to find that as long as there's an attempt to change anything. What occurs in the mind, nothing need be done about that. And it's the mind that is where we come to an understanding of all our experience. So if we think there's something unnatural about the way the mind moves or what it does, then we'll feel really uncomfortable in our own skin. And if we think that there's something that needs to be changed in our thoughts, emotions, sensations, or experiences, then it's very likely we'll find a teaching and a teacher that agree with that. So then, you know, it's just more perpetuation of the same thing. But I can guarantee you that nothing needs to be changed. And the entire process of relaxing as we already are is just a fun, laughter-filled, loving way to be. That's it. And there's never anything else that needs to be involved. It isn't spiritual, it isn't philosophical, it isn't psychological, and it could be described in all those ways, but it's not necessary. What it really is about is just the natural order of everything as it is, just the completely natural ease of everything as it is. When we rest, then all these things that seem so troublesome in our thoughts, emotions, experiences, and sensations, they just no longer are. It's just like, have you ever seen a mountain goat? It can just climb up a 90-degree incline. Just goes straight up. It has no problem doing that at all. And it's completely relaxed as it does it. It doesn't make any effort. This is one of my longest held images. When I was born, I lived up in the mountains, and where there were all of these incredible peaks surrounding this little valley where I lived. And my parents pointed out these mountain goats to me when I was very young, and how they were just so adept at doing the undoable in a completely relaxed way. So you see, in terms of who we are, we're able to cover terrain that we could never cover before, all these thoughts, emotions, and sensations that seem so troublesome, just by relaxing, enjoying the underlying basis of those thoughts, emotions, and sensations. That's really what we want to understand. As long as we get wrapped up in the thoughts, emotions, and sensations, then we're all wrapped up in labels. We're wrapped up in words and concepts. So then we only know one aspect of what's appearing. We don't know the emptiness aspect of what's appearing when we only pay attention to the words and concepts. Then we don't know that the basic space of awareness is the entire space of whatever the word or concept is. So all these thoughts, emotions, sensations, experiences, they're all entirely equal in being the basic space of awareness and never having an origin separate from the basic space of awareness. If we try to tinker with the appearances of awareness, then we're saying there's something wrong. I've got to fix up these appearances somehow in order to get into the natural state. But as everything truly is non-dual, a single seamless expanse, there's really nothing that needs to be done about anything. If you've been told that in order to perfect your behavior, you need to change your thoughts, emotions, and actions, that will be a very long and grueling course. And perhaps a course that doesn't have much laughter in it. And if we're always trying to change ourselves, then automatically we believe others need to be changed as well. It's really very self-defeating. It's very, very self-defeating, not only for ourselves, but for our relationships with others. Indeed, you know, there is something about us that is so pristine, so immaculate, that it can only be accessed by resting as the basic space of awareness, the underlying basis of everything. And in that, any faults that need to be exhausted will be exhausted just naturally, without trying to do anything about them. In the natural wisdom awareness that is at the basis of everything, all is super complete and fresh in itself, and an outpouring of love, wisdom, and energy that's absolutely perfect. The idea that we need to change is just something that we've adopted. It's a conventional belief. From the beginning of our lives, we're told we pick up something, and it's something someone doesn't want us to have in our hand, and they say, no, put it down. Or we get angry and they say, no, you know, you have to be loving, don't get angry. And these are just conventional beliefs, and we adopt these conventional beliefs willingly. So that's important to know, that it's up to us to either go along with the conventional way of looking at things, which is that all our thoughts, emotions, and sensations and experiences need to be changed into better thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences, ones that are positive rather than flawed, and by that will become somehow perfect and wise. Well, if that were the case, then there would be many, many, many happy, wise, and perfect people. So, you know, there's never a problem with you. And if anyone tells you there's a problem with you, then don't go back there. That's all I can advise. If anyone says there's no one for there to be a problem with, and it's really never the fault of the student, so to speak, or the participant, or whatever you call yourself. Look to the teacher in teaching for the responsibility to be able to teach in an unerring way that naturally awakens the vitality of your own being, if that's what you're looking for. What's natural is natural to everyone, no matter what the events of your life up to this point have been. So if the events of your life have been things you don't even want to think or talk about, and they just seem so out of control that you can't even believe you've made it this far, or if you've been absolutely perfect and you see yourself in that way, or if you're somewhere in between, just relax. It matters not. Who we are isn't controlled by any conventional belief or concept. It's not spiritual. It's not non-spiritual. Completely beyond extremes. Never controlled in any way by any kind of conventional ideas about anything, such as reincarnation, karma, original sin. What is originally pure from the beginningless beginning has never been tainted or stained in any way. Forever stainless, flawless knowing knows everything as itself, no matter what it is. The good moods, the bad moods, disease, no disease, love and wonderfulness, or the opposite of that. So, you know, there's nothing that needs to be changed. It's in the complete freedom of everything as it is, which is perfect all at once, that we realize the perfection of our own being. The perfection of our own being can't be contrived. It can't be twisted into shape. In what has always been pure, there's no need for purification of anything. There's no need for refinement of anything, or transformation, or analysis, or anything at all. There's truly nothing that needs to be done. In the complete relaxation of everything as it is, everything is guaranteed to be totally free, no matter what appears. Now, sometimes these ideas that we need to change are very ingrained, because there are a lot of books and people that say that, right? But not all the books and people say that. So, you know, this is very good news. I'm not the only one who says this. What I'm saying to you today is timeless wisdom. It's been passed down generation to generation for thousands and thousands of years. The most simple of all instructions, the most simple of all practices, to rest imperturbably without seeking anything in what appears, and without describing anything about what appears. So simple, so easy. But what already is, it has to be simple and easy. It has to be something that we can directly access if we haven't, and do so in a joyful, loving circumstance that is easeful, that is effortless, where we always feel like we'll be supported rather than torn down or tempted to believe even more that we need to change things about ourselves. Whatever qualities that we want to display in some magnificent way, they're already naturally present. And they're not uncovered by beating them out of the closet. by pounding on the door until they come out sheepishly. they're already really within each of us, and I know this through my own direct experience and the experience of many others that I've had the pleasure to be with over the last 25 years. There's a tremendous exuberance of well-being, talent, optimism, total love, wisdom, and energy that's naturally present in everyone already. So it isn't a matter of finding it somewhere where it exists outside yourself. It's already present, and it's only by resting imperturbably, resting naturally, repeatedly, in the direct encounter with all the ideas that you might have about yourself, that it becomes more obvious that this is so. What is obvious in everyone, and no one needs to change even an iota. In what is truly non-dual, there is primordial perfection. That means fundamental perfection. There's fundamental purity, and the holy positive expanse is of a holy positive nature. Everything about it is of a holy positive nature. And that can't be realized through picking things apart and saying, oh, this needs to be adjusted, this needs to be modified, this needs to be tweaked, this needs to be undone. Everything's already been undone from the very beginning. From the beginningless beginning, so there's really nothing that needs to be changed. Is there anyone here who really feels that there's something that needs to be changed and has a question that they'd like to ask about that?
There are times that we change, but we're not necessarily maybe trying, right, to change. But we not that our essential nature changes, but we make a change, you know, in a natural way, right? And that's a natural, untrying change.
Everything just flows effortlessly in an uncontrived life.
But sometimes we don't have to, but it's nice to, well, we are inspired to put fuel into the fire by that miraculous change or whatever it is that comes about.
But there's really no thinking about it. It's not that. Here's the distinction. When we take all of our thoughts, emotions, and sensations and experiences as things that need to be modified or changed in some way, then usually when we need to do simple things like make decisions or choices, then we think a lot about those decisions beforehand, and there are many, many thoughts, and they're very difficult to stop, and then finally the decision point is reached, the decision is made, and then after the decision, more thoughts. Did I make the right decision? Is this indeed the thing that I need to do? So effortless, uncontrived living is living that doesn't rely on words and concepts. It just relies on natural wisdom that's obviously and evidently present and doesn't require thinking. It doesn't require thinking for the wisdom to come about. The wisdom naturally appears in an effortless way.
What about anger? It will be if I'm angry and I have the intention or I hurt somebody else that did not do nothing, it will be hard for me to after to feel that this is perfect the way it is and not to want to change this reaction that I had.
Well, when anger comes up, there are a number of approaches to it. And so I'll list those right now. One is to indulge it. Two is to avoid it. 3 is to replace it with a positive state. And 4 is to rest as flawless awareness. And from flawless awareness, see all as flawless awareness until all is flawless awareness. And in that, there is a totally balanced view of what's ever occurring. You see, if you take the first 3 routes, indulgence, avoidance, or replacement, then it keeps you caught in anger and some kind of an antidote to the anger. But if you rest as awareness, then you have a balanced view of everything. If you've blown up at someone and the anger's gone that far, in other words, it's gone from the initial flare of anger into an action, then you know automatically how to make direct changes in that relationship if they need to be made. And so you just know what to do and how to act. In the first 3 approaches, it is only possible, for example, through avoiding anger or replacing anger with a positive state. It neutralizes the anger. It doesn't resolve the anger entirely forever in a non-dual expanse. It's only in coming to the definitive conclusion in one's own experience that everything is equal, that anger is eventually completely resolved. Otherwise, it's just neutralized. There are 3 talks on our website, full-length talks, I think a total of about 3 hours in 3 parts that are titled Exhausting Faults and Perfecting Qualities, the ease of exhausting faults and perfecting qualities. So it very specifically talks about resting as awareness as the way in which faults are exhausted in an easeful way. You know, we all want to live well with others and have a peaceful life and a happy life where we have good relationships. And many of us today, more than ever, really want to be of benefit to the whole. We don't just want to find the self benefit in getting familiar with awareness. We want to be of benefit to the whole, too. And the power to do that comes from wisdom awareness. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It can't be cultivated or developed. If we start to try to cultivate and develop good states to replace negative states, then we'll have a lifetime of doing that. Within us already is tremendous benefit that does not need to be cultivated. It's completely beyond cultivation and development. We can only get to know it by enjoying the ease of our being and placing ourselves in a circumstance where we know we'll be supported when we need support. So, for example, in the Great Freedom Teaching, we have support available 24/7, that means around the clock, every day worldwide, we have support available. And sometimes people need support, that's just the way it is. And when people need support to rest as awareness, it's very useful to give very direct, incisive, loving support. There's never anything else that's necessary. Truly, there isn't. And in this way, the process of realizing who we are is very swift. It doesn't need to drag on for years. It really is very swift. When unerring instruction and proper support is given, the swiftness of realizing who we are, who we truly are, the magnificence of our own awareness, it comes about very quickly. How could it be anything other than that? You know, what is natural to us? How could it be difficult? How could it be fraught with challenges, endless challenges and austerities? when we face ourselves in a direct way, and there's no more direct way to face ourselves than to just be at ease with whatever appears. Really. And it very quickly becomes obvious that nothing else is needed. No matter what appears, it already is timelessly free. So to try to make it into something that is timelessly free is completely unnecessary and misguided effort. Whatever the circumstances are of your own life, they're already timelessly free, no matter what they are. Circumstances don't need to change at all, whether you're living in an ashram, a monastery, Amsterdam, New York, Bakersfield, California, Singapore, no matter where it is. Your circumstances are perfect for realizing who you are, whether you're married or not, or welcome. Or involved in methods or practices or not, just relax and certainly enjoy whatever it is you're involved in. And the greatest enjoyment comes about just through resting, knowing that nothing is needed. Nothing that is occurring in your life is an avenue or a route to something else. Everything that appears is super complete in itself. So the moment we think that something we're doing is an avenue to something else, then we have a doer who's doing something headed to a destination that occurs totally within time. So the entire process is included within conventional belief systems and within time, time-based causation. So, you know, who we are is completely beyond time and space and any kind of causation. When we just rest, this becomes obvious. And if you don't believe me, just give it a try. What could it hurt? What could it hurt, huh? Just give it a whirl for a while. You don't need to change anything about your life. Wow, you know, we have people who are lifers in prison and on death row who are resting as awareness, who have been able to come to complete terms with their lives and everything that has gone on in them, and to live a life of total timeless freedom in that ashram called a prison. But, you know, if we really think that our thoughts, emotions, and experiences need to be changed in order to realize who we are in prison. We're completely shackled by beliefs. You know, shackles, those are the things they put on prisoners so they can't move their hands and arms and their feet and legs. Well, if we think anything needs to change, then we're shackled. If we think the projections of our own mind need to be changed, then we really are in shackles. And even if there's one thought or emotion that we think needs to be changed, we're still completely in prison, because nothing needs to change. No matter what it is, if you have a horrible disease and you're completely in pain, or you feel like the healthiest person on earth, you're strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger, or as weak as the man dying in the street, whatever it is, it's completely timelessly free, whatever the circumstances are. The natural state, the ease of our own being, is guaranteed to everyone. It's the great equalness. The great equalness of everything as it is. So equal that absolutely nothing needs to be changed about anyone. And so filled with loving kindness, so pervaded by totally perfect love, that nothing whatsoever needs to change about anyone. So no one needs to get the same kinds of thoughts and emotions that an historical figure had or a current figure has. And none of this is necessary. Whatever your own circumstances are, they're the circumstances of a greatly realized being, of one who has everything they need to realize the great perfection of everything as it is. We all know, we absolutely know that I've never met a person who does not know that love is the essence of everything, that this love, wisdom, and energy, that it really is the essence of everything. And no matter what we've been thinking is the right thing to do, it's always the urge to freedom. And very often we only know to do what's presented to us by other people. So those are the only approaches we know to take. And this oldest of all teachings that has been passed down for many, many thousands of years, it's a teaching that was very difficult to get until just recently, you know, just very recently. It was a teaching that very few people could get. So in the unerring instruction related to it. So for the first time in human history, this is available to everyone. And all of the instruction associated with it is available. All the support that is necessary is completely available.
Your talks on the MP3. And you said that there's the four comforts, the teacher, the teaching, and the community, and the instruction. And you said that one always should have a teacher and a mentor, otherwise it would be completely arrogant to do such a thing. In your case, who is your mentor in as far as this instruction, or do you have one? As far as because I heard that you realized this state at a certain stage, mm-hmm. and but then I didn't hear about any mentorship. Do you have any, or did you ever have such a need?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm going to rephrase what you've stated, because you, of course, paraphrased it, so it was just like a little snippet out of context. And in the Great Freedom Teaching, we do have the teacher, the teaching, the worldwide community, and the practice of resting naturally. Those are called the four comforts. And this is a worldwide support system, that's how one could look at it, for resting as awareness, for resting naturally. And what I state over and over again is that through this worldwide system, there is support available. And that when this ultimate kind of friendship or mentorship is available, then why try to do it on our own? You know, it's like trying to climb Mount Everest on our own. Now, what I'm talking about, even though it is the oldest practice, it's been taught for many, many thousands of years, it's so natural that for me it occurred in my own mind stream in a time of great upset. I didn't really even know about non-dual philosophy, or that it was possible to have any kind of way of being human that was completely free of assessing and judging everything that happened. I didn't even know that anything like that was possible. But in a time of great upset, where I had had a very traumatic to my body and unexpected event occur, all my thoughts and emotions and experiences were just completely running wild, and none of my very accomplished strategies that I'd developed for dealing with life and living life at that point worked at all. And in the hopelessness and powerlessness of that, I suddenly realized that all these thoughts and emotions that were so troublesome to me that they all had the same underlying basis, the same basic space, and that if I just rested at that, there was complete relief. So resting is that relief. I found complete freedom from everything very quickly, but not apart from everything as everything, just that the basic space of everything is complete relief. And for me, that happened quickly in about 10 days. So I immediately, it was just so amazing that everything is as it is and that this is the way it is for everyone. So this is the way it is for everyone. I became very interested in that because I knew that there must be many other people who had realized the same thing. And so indeed, there are. You know, this is a tradition that's been handed down forever. When I do have a couple of very close friends who are Tibetan lamas, and so, you know, we share a friendship group. This is what I'd call it. All of the Great Freedom teachings are translated into Tibetan for Wangdor Rinpoche, who is a close friend of mine. And then another Tibetan Lama, a woman who studied with Wangdor Rinpoche, is a close friend of mine, Lama Lena. Yeah. It's just to have a natural, easygoing friendship among all the people of the world is what resting imperturbably is about. It's not about any kind of tradition or anything like that. And what Wangdor Rinpoche says about the Great Freedom Teaching is that it's the same teaching as he has that's been passed down in that lineage. However, it's for everybody. You know, it's spoken in a way that everyone can understand. It's just, you know, one of the things that is interesting about these times is that before now, there are many methods and practices that have been culturally specific.